This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Own It Show. I am here with a really exciting guest that we have today. She's a professional speaker, a best-selling author of Adaptable, host of her very own podcast called The Alexa Rose Show, and CEO of her company, Women Empower X. So happy to invite you, Alexa Rose Carlin, to the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love if you could tell us a little bit about your story. I mean, it's clear that you're somebody who really lives in alignment with your passion, and you've taken the time to curate and figure out what it is that makes you happy and to really live that every single day. So can you share with our listeners your journey to get there? Because I'm sure it was not an easy one.
Oh yeah, definitely not easy. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur since I'm 17 years old. I always had this mission to really make a difference in one person's life a day, or at least one person's life a day, because I saw the power at a young age of the individual and how, you know, I may not be able to make a massive impact, and kind of thinking about that seems overwhelming and it causes inaction. And so I was like, if I could just make a difference in one person's life a day, you know, how much change can I create? And I discovered at a young age that I fell in love with entrepreneurship and saw that entrepreneurship would be my vehicle to fulfill that mission. And my first business was designing jewelry, where I donated a percentage of proceeds to build schools in Africa. And then I saw going into college, growing this business, that the main thing that was holding me back from really fulfilling my potential and growing this was a lack of confidence. And that's definitely something I did not own, being myself. And I was always very shy growing up. Up until a certain point when I started to realize, like, if I don't learn the skill of confidence, then it's going to hold me back, you know, forever. And so I started a blog in college to really help instill confidence in young girls and women when I was still learning it myself. And while I was growing this blog, I was in college, and I was now a senior in college, a few months from graduation. And out of nowhere, I had this crazy near-death experience where bacteria got into my bloodstream and started killing all of my organs rapidly. And my body was sent into septic shock.
Wow.
And that changed my entire life. I was in a coma for 6 days, in the ICU for 10. So many different experiences, which I share in my keynotes and in my book, like very openly, just a lot of mindset shifts. And that changed. That was, I mean, a huge near-death experience where the doctors even told my mom that I had a 1% chance to live. And well, I wish I could say that was like the pivotal point in my life, right? You have this near-death experience and now you want to go on and create and do and you know, own who you are. It really was after this point that was the hardest thing that I had to deal with, which 6 months after I was discharged from the hospital, I was actually diagnosed with an autoimmune disease because I had 6 different bags of antibiotics pumping in my body. I mean, I was hooked up to ton IVs. I couldn't move, breathe, or speak on my own. And so it damaged a lot of my organs. And I was diagnosed with this autoimmune that is debilitating. And anyone that, you know, watches or listens to this show that understands chronic illness, it's with you forever. And for years, I was so sick. I was in and out of doctors, in and out of hospitals. And this was when I was I got sick at 20, near-death experience at 21 years old, and now diagnosed at 22. And I just felt like at such a young age, all my dreams were just taken from me. And that was for sure like the most pivotal defining moment in my life of whether I would let this define me and define what I can or cannot do, or turn this obstacle into an opportunity.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that must have been, especially, you know, somebody who has so much energy and awareness about themselves as an entrepreneur at the age of 17 and assumingly has all these big hopes and dreams, but then, you know, one challenge after the next continues to present itself to you. So I'm really curious, Alexa. You know, you talked about a lot of mindset shifts that happened and how you really decided to show up in the face of adversity as opposed to succumbing to it. So tell us about what it felt like living in your head during that time.
Oh man, not the best place to be. I kept on asking myself, why did this happen to me? And I just was so stuck in the past. I suffered from post-traumatic stress for a long time. Like anytime my heart beat rapidly, like I got so afraid because that was one of the signs before I went into the coma. And I was so much living in fear and everything was scary. And I just asked, like, why can I just have this near-death experience, right? Have this great story and then, you know, go on this uphill journey. And why did I have to be, you know, stuck with this chronic debilitating illness for the rest of my life? And I was in this state of just waiting, and being in the waiting zone is one of the worst places you can be. But I was waiting to get healthy until I could go and live my life again. I was waiting until I can finally eat food again and digest to go and make friends or go back out with my friends. I was waiting for my old life to get back before I could be happy. I was waiting. And I realized, like, you must not wait for your life to change. You must change your own life. And there's only so much I can control. And that was one of the biggest lessons at this time, was to focus on the things that you do have control over. And there was this moment when I was in my bathroom and I had another hard morning of, like, illness. And I remember looking at myself in my mirror and thinking, why did this have to happen for me? And it was that one shift in one word, in one sentence, that really changed everything. Because while at this time I was at a loss for hope, because I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and everyone's like, oh, as long as you have hope, right, then you could continue on. I'm like, well, where's the hope if I'm never going to get better? Right. And these are, like, all the conversations I was having with myself. And at that moment, I exchanged hope for curiosity. And I started to become so curious to what may happen if I woke up one more day, if I, you know, took one more breath, if I took one more step, if I just tried one new thing to get healthy. And that led to more curiosity and continued to push the boundaries, and started to decide to share my story as finding a reason this happened to inspire others with my story.
That's really powerful. You know, that's something we talk about a lot in the podcast and at Own It with our clients, is this idea of just one more, right? What if you tried 99 times and it was the 100th time that you were successful, right? Yes. And you didn't get back out there and try that 100th time, you would never be successful. And I love how you talk about switching out hope, because hope doesn't necessarily have an end result, right? It's attached to the future. Whereas curiosity, you're in the present. You're allowed to say, right, you know what? What if this day looks like this, if I'm just curious instead of hopeful? There's so much expectation tied to hope. So it almost reduces your expectations a bit when you make that mindset shift.
Right. And it opens you up to, like, the wonders of the universe, right? Like, of all the things that you, there's no way that you can even imagine them to be true for yourself. But if you allow yourself to be open and trust the journey, that was a big thing, is like, trust, surrender, you know, go with the flow while still obviously having your goals and focusing on what you want. But that curiosity really led me to be more resilient. And that even transferred over to my business, where when you get hit with rejection, right, it's the, like, well, what if the next phone call is the one that they say yes, right? Or that next pitch. And so that curiosity I continue to have with me in everyday life, in personal and professional, because it's so powerful and it makes the journey a whole lot more fun.
It sure does. You know, that's a great segue into the next thing I want to talk to you about, is your business. Tell our listeners about, you know, how you made this transition out of college through all the adversity that you faced into what you're doing today.
So, it was a very interesting journey, because I was an entrepreneur since I was young. So I always thought, like, what I was doing at that time would be my, like, career forever. And I thought that this blog, which was very focused in the fashion industry, at first, because I was really passionate, I thought I would work in the fashion industry. I thought that was going to be it. But after this whole near-death experience and everything that transpired, I felt like there was a bigger calling, a bigger purpose for me. And so when I decided that I wanted to share my story vulnerably and authentically, I started pitching myself to different organizations anytime I was healthy. When I wasn't healthy, I went on social media and I started growing a following through live streaming. And I mean, there was many times where I live streamed from my bed because I was too sick to even get out of my bed. And really, it was very scary, but vulnerably sharing what I was going through. And that's what led me to really growing an organic community online. And then when I started pitching myself to speak on other stages, I pitched 60 people in the beginning, got 60 letters of rejection. And I was like, so disappointed. I let that rejection sit with me. And I was like, okay, well, if no one's giving me an opportunity to speak, I guess I can't be a public speaker. And for months, I let that define my career. But that passion, that fire was still so inside of me. And I always say, like, if you have a dream that keeps you up at night and wakes you up in the morning, it is there for a reason. And it is your job not to ignore it. And I had this beautiful epiphany moment. And I thought, wait, why am I putting my dreams in someone else's hands, right? In a stranger's hands, letting them say yes or no, I could be this. And I thought, well, if you're not going to let me speak at your event, I'm going to create my own event. And that's what I did. It was under meetup.com at first, the small meetup group. Five people showed up to my first event and I was like so excited to inspire five people. And it grew slowly but surely. But through that process, finally, people started asking me to speak on their stages because I started to get more experience. And that's when I saw a real disconnect among women. And I noticed that every event I spoke at was very segmented off by age, industry, or even ethnicity. And while those groups are important, I just thought, how much change can we create if we connect and collaborate with diverse women of different ages, backgrounds, industries? And that's what led to this idea of Women Empower X and really the need myself to connect with my online community in a setting that was very much around collaboration over competition and around connection over just like exchanging business cards.
There's so much energy and power that comes from being able to show up in a collaborative way as opposed to a competitive way. And I know, you know, coming from the fashion world, the corporate world myself, I've seen it. I've seen it again and again, particularly with women. But, you know, once you make this transition, and it's something that I love about entrepreneurs and female entrepreneurs specifically, is how we build one another up and how we collaborate. And it's amazing that you've been able to create a culture that does exactly that.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting how a lot of times we see the change for women, especially women in business around men, which obviously that's like a whole other conversation, but there's a big change around women. And there has to be this state where women, understand that when you help another woman grow and become that ladder for them, we all grow together. And her success does not mean that you aren't as successful, right? There's enough room for all of us. I mean, just look at every industry. There's so many female actresses. There's so many musicians. There's so many podcasters. There's so many best-selling authors. Like, and they're all successful because when you add who you are and what you do, you're always going to rise above the noise and you're always going to attract a different audience or maybe the same audience. Because again, like people read more than one book, people listen to more than one podcast, people watch more than one movie. And so it's really this just breaking down this limiting belief that you can't be that successful if someone else is already doing what you aspire to do.
I can hear your energy and passion as you talk about that. So thank you for sharing that with us and with the world.
Thanks. Yeah, definitely passionate about it.
One of the things I want to go back to is the idea of vulnerability that you talked about. I think, you know, a lot of people today are afraid to be vulnerable because I think oftentimes, and I was even guilty of this myself at one point, is we tend to see vulnerability as weakness. Mm-hmm. But you said it, right? When you shared who you truly were with the world gave back to you in a really, really powerful way. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, the more I shared vulnerably, the more my following grew because people related to it. People related to the fact that I was saying, hey, like, this is what's happening. Like, I'm not that motivated right now. I'm not healthy right now, but I'm still chasing after my dreams. And so they saw that they didn't have to wait until their life was quote unquote perfect, but they could achieve what they wanted in the imperfection, in the challenge, in the obstacle itself. And so the thing that really though inspired me or gave me the courage, that's better to say it that way, gave me the courage to share so vulnerably, because it still is scary, right? Courage is doing it just in spite of the fear itself. But it was this need to not feel so alone. With my autoimmune, I was always afraid. I still am, because at any moment I could not feel well. And if I'm about to go on stage, and this has happened to me before, and all of a sudden I don't feel well, I can't get on stage. And if I just kept on saying, oh, I'm fine, you know, I'm fine, and people are not really opening up, I would always feel like I was all alone, and like that stress and that anxiety, right? That I wouldn't know what to do. But the more I shared, the less alone I felt. And that allowed me to do things that were still scary because I knew I had some community by my side. And that's the most powerful thing. I think we're all walking around feel like not really sharing who we are. And so we're feeling alone. And, you know, loneliness is a big problem in today's society right now. And I think the main factor is because we're really just saying, oh, I'm fine, you know, everything's okay. And you're not really sharing. And think, I do these workshops all over the country, and it's mind-boggling how many people work together every single day and know nothing about each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like we're in the midst of an I'm fine pandemic right now.
Yep.
Everybody's afraid to be vulnerable and share how they really are doing.
Yeah, I don't understand the idea of like how it could be a weakness. I understand the old mentality of like wanting to be the strong, powerful woman, especially if you work in a male-dominated industry, and if you are saying you're tired or you're finances aren't the greatest or whatever, people will look at you in a certain light. I understand that, but there's a way to be vulnerable and stand in your power and be respected. And it really comes down to right empathy, compassion, and leading by example. And when you are vulnerable, you give permission for others to be vulnerable too.
You're exactly right. It's probably one of the most powerful, scariest, but most powerful things you can truly do.
Yeah, I agree.
Showing who you really are.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Scary, but necessary.
Yes. I want to slightly shift lanes here for a second, because you just got married. Congratulations.
Very Thank exciting. You. Yes. Super excited.
So the reason why I bring that up is because you had sent out an email prior to both your wedding and then your honeymoon in Greece. And one of the things that I noticed, it was an email that you shared with your community, was the intentionality behind it. You had created a time and space for yourself to really be present and be in the moment. And I think, you know, a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, and it's so easy to feel like we are at the mercy of our business, because oftentimes we're the only ones responding to the business, or we're the only ones who care as much about the business as we hoped everybody else who's touching the business would.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I would love if you could tell our listeners a little bit of advice about how they can show up with intentionality and give themselves the space that they need to be human and take that much needed self-care that oftentimes we really need.
That was a big thing for me, and it was hard. I mean, I'm not going to say it was easy at all. I planned a year for this. And it was, so I took off a 3 straight weeks of no email, no business. Like I even told my team, you cannot message me, cannot ask me any questions. And that was my first break since 17 years old, because even every vacation, I'm like thinking about ideas and everything. And I said, like, I really want to be in a mindset of just love, family, you know, my personal life, which is very mingled with my professional life, especially, you know, as a personal brand and all that. But so there was a lot of intention that went to it, like for a year. And my biggest advice is, if you know that you want to really be present for something or just take off certain amount of time, you have to create a plan of action for it. It can't just like happen. So that plan of action was finding a main assistant outside of like the other different people on my team, right? I have agents, managers, but I needed a main assistant who would basically like respond to my community, social media, handle everything, as well as all the inbounds, to be my voice when I was away. So that was my first step. And then I had to have time to train her. And then I set up, you know, FAQ document of any questions that may come in. I set up, you know, SOPs, standard operating procedures, but all of this, it sounds like a lot, but really, like, you can set all these systems up if you don't have them already in your business as you're running your business. So as I responded to an email that I know is a frequently asked question, I just added it to the document. So it wasn't, you know, I didn't have to like stop and take hours to create this. Or for the SOPs, if I knew that there was something that I was doing that I would want to delegate, I would record myself doing it, like screen recording. And every computer has that. I just started to do these in the process of work to get my team prepared for when I was away. And then the one other thing I did was I actually took off a week before my wedding. So my wedding was on a Sunday. And I took off that Friday, wait, like the week prior, because I knew myself, like I needed at least 5 to 7 days to just like get out of the work mindset. So that was another thing, because then once I was out of it, then my wedding happened and I was like fully present, not thinking about work. And then I went on my honeymoon and I was definitely, you know, completely present and off the grid. So there was a lot of planning that went into it, but also keep in mind, this is where vulnerability comes into play, where I told and communication, I told my audience what was happening. I didn't just like hide behind the scenes and put an away message for my email, right? You even knew, because I sent out an email. I told our students in our courses, like I told everyone, I'm taking off 3 weeks. Here's the person, you know, if you need to contact someone. And my team will still respond. But I think that was a big thing. And people respected me for it and understood if I didn't get back to them until I came back. Because also, like, you know, I think people are more open to mental, to self-care, to mental health days, to personal celebrations. I think people want others to take it versus be on this nonstop hustle grind, you know, mode.
Absolutely. And after all that intention, after all that planning, did it work? Did you get the uninterrupted 4 weeks that you so deserved?
Yes. Yeah. No, it worked. It worked really well. It did. And I'm very, very grateful I was able and did that for myself, because it was needed. And there's like no regrets, right? That my mind was somewhere else than I wanted it to be. So yes, it did work.
Well, good for you. And if you guys are listening, make sure that the next time you have a big event, just prepare for it. Exactly like Alexa said, it takes planning, it takes thought, and most importantly, it takes intention as well, but it can and should be done.
Yes. And trust that everything, you know, will be, you know, ready for you when you come back. That's the thing. Like what I realized, and I thought this was not the case. Like if I stop posting on social for 3 weeks or a month, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And guess what? Nothing changed, right? Like my followers, my community is still there. And that's key as well.
And you probably even gained some new followers through the process as well.
Yes. Yeah. I got a lot of positive responses to that email saying like, thank you. I've been wanting to take a break. I feel like I can't, like, this is a good reminder. And so again, just like open communication is a big thing.
Good.
So I want to come full circle and talk about the idea that you were referring to when it comes to, or at least how I understood it, the ups and downs of life. When you were 17 years old, you were on a high, you thought you had figured out what your career was, but then you're hit with struggle after struggle. You know, you're in a coma for days on end. And then 6 months after that, you get hit with an autoimmune disease, both of which I'm sure were extremely unexpected. And I'm sure you could list off a laundry list of ups and downs that have happened throughout your life since then, whether they're personal or business related. So my question to you and what our listeners always really love to hear about is, what is your advice to be able to manage through the ups and downs of life? Because we know that they're going to happen. We know that it's ingrained in life, but how do you deal with it?
Good question. So yeah, there's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs, and some of the downs lasted years. I mean, one last 7 years was, you know, a full down. I mean, of course, little spurts of moments, but it was a very dark time and hard time. And like really the best way that I was able to get through that is with my family by my side. I think community, and I've talked about this before, like community is so important, whether it's blood-related family or the family you create yourself, finding, or, you know, a therapist or whomever, right? Finding support during those times, just for someone to even listen to you or just sit next to you. Like it meant the whole world to me when my mom would just watch a movie with me. So I wasn't alone because I couldn't leave the house. Right. And so just having her right next to me, she didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to like give me advice or say, you know, it's going to get better or have a different mindset. Like it was just being there. And so finding those people in your life or being one of those people to someone else, being there for someone, was really helpful during those hard times. Knowing that the second thing is knowing that with every tunnel of darkness, you know, we're always searching for the light at the end. And this is like the beginning quote in my book, Adaptable, is that for a long time, I was searching for the light at the end of the tunnel until I realized that the light was within me all along. And that's a key thing. So anytime I'm in that, you know, roller coaster and I'm at the down part of this roller coaster, I look within and remember that the light is there. It's always there. And right now there's all these obstacles and challenges that I'm facing, but if I don't give up, right, and I continue to be curious of staying resilient of what may happen if I don't give up, there is like light that will shine again. There is hope that is rediscovered when you don't give up. And then when it comes to really the business side of things, there's so many ups and downs, and sometimes your personal life could be great. And then your business is not doing the greatest. And you're like, why can't everything just be great? Right. So your mindset is better. Cause I know one affects the other, especially when you're so passionate. And, a chapter in my book is called Plan Q. And it's basically showing like when I went from when I started my first business to now, like how many different plans I've actually pursued and it hasn't worked out, or I've had to pivot, or it led to something else. And I went through like plan A, plan B, plan C, and I'm on plan Q right now. And reminding myself that you are ever evolving. Your dreams are ever evolving. And sometimes what you thought was the path may not be the path, but that's okay, right? If you just have to, you know, find another path, but you're still, you know, going forward. And every step that I took, even when it seemed like a failure, led me to where I'm at today. And that's the same for, I believe, for every single person. So even a good exercise to do is to write out like what plan you're on. Basically, like plan A, I started a jewelry business, like hand making bracelets when I was in elementary school. Plan B was this, right? Plan C. And you'll see how they really all connect. And guess what? Like, you could just restart the alphabet. Like, it doesn't, everyone's so focused on plan A and plan B, but like, you could just keep on going. Like, there's no rules. And that's the other thing that really helps me.
And probably once you get to plan Q or later, it makes the end result that much better because you've gone through all these iterations to get you even closer to where you're meant to be.
Yes. And then you realize, right, all your plans need to be fluid. And the only way to actually become who you're meant to be is to continue to evolve and continue to adapt and, you know, pivot with the purpose of your bigger vision for your life.
Well, that is certainly ownership at its finest. I want to ask you one of our listeners' favorite questions. And, you know, I can't wait to hear your answer because you're so clearly somebody who lives in ownership. You've been through really difficult moments in your life, but you've been able to make this amazing, powerful, collaborative culture out of it. You're somebody who's able to live in your passion every single day. It may not be every single moment of every day, but even sitting here talking to you, I've been able to see it through the video screen. It's really an amazing thing to witness. So what I want to ask you, Alexa, is in a word or a phrase, what would you say is your definition of ownership?
My definition of ownership is being confident in who you are.
Perfect. I love that. And Alexa, where can people find you?
You can find me on social media, Alexa Rose Carlin, all over YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram is where I mostly hang out. And you can also learn more at alexacarlin.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for being with us today, for having this amazing conversation. For those of you listening, remember that oftentimes the light is not at the end of the tunnel, it's within you, and to keep seeking that and keep finding that, and that your journey to what you're meant to do is a process. It's a process of ups and downs. Continue to go through those, continue to experience those iterations, because at the end of the day, it's only going to make you better. And another big thing to keep in mind is curiosity instead of hope. If we focus on that curiosity every single day, instead of that hope, all of those expectations, it allows us to approach life with a lot less pressure and a lot more fun. So with that, success is different, own your different, and we'll see you next week.